Well, notice our passage shows why he's supreme, why he is preeminent over all things. Notice, because he created all things. You know, if you create it, you've got supremacy over it, right? If you created everything, you've got supremacy over everything. For by him, verse 16, all things were created.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the title of your message today asks an important question.
Yes, it does, Dave. And that question is, do we have an accurate view of who Jesus really is? And it's just what our passage is going to show us today. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 15 to 17. And it is here we're going to gain an accurate view of Jesus.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, we know, as we'll talk about Jesus in a minute, because Jesus is God, but you might remember what Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, immortal, invisible, the only God, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. We even know from Romans chapter 1 that his attributes are invisible. His invisible attributes have been revealed in what he's created. The invisible attributes of deity. You can't look at the stars and their order and their magnitude and the gloriousness of them and not understand there is the attribute of deity behind that. But it is invisible. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine, have been clearly seen. So then, the Father's beloved Son, who is in the image of the invisible God. But what does that mean? We need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. We need to see it rightly, otherwise we can be taken captive, even on the passages that explain the truth concerning Christ. We'll see a little later on that the bad guys try to take these and twist them, as we'll say. But if we are grounded in the Word of God and focused on the God of the Word, we're not going to get taken captive. So then, the Father's beloved Son is the image of the invisible God. But what does that mean? Notice in John, he gives us some insight. Turn to John 1. We gain insight into this truth. And we need to know the Word of God. Bad guys are going to sound like Christians. And we need to know when we hear something wrong that that's not right. And we need to know how to respond. We need to know how to get away from there and to run away, guys, to run away. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. Okay? That's the invisible God. All right? No man has seen God at any time. And then he goes on to talk about the only begotten God, monogenes, the unique Son. That's what that means. Who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. No one has seen God in his totality. There's one God we're going to see, but his unique Son, the only begotten Son, God the Son, has explained him. And that term explain is in the Greek, exogeomai. He has exegeted him. He has explained who God is. We see this in John 14. You see, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, there's one God, but God the Son took on human flesh. And in his humanity, being fully God, God is explained to us. He is revealed to us. John 14:6. Let's turn there. John 14:6. And these bad guys, they take a half a verse. And they focus you on that, but they don't take the whole thing. They don't take the whole thing. They twist the Word of God, and they're dangerous, evil men. Don't try to battle with them. You're not going to win. You're trying to battle Satan. You get away from the evil, false teachers. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For now on you know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? He's talking about relationally, personhood, right, in a sense. He says here, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And he said, how do you say shows the Father? Do not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? He's saying, hey, you know, you've seen me. You've seen the nature of God the Father. You've seen his nature. It's one God revealed in three persons. We'll talk about that. And this is the part we don't understand because we're not God. But Scripture reveals truth. And if you are a believer, you're going to believe it. You're not going to deny it. You're not going to deny the truth. The truth is God has revealed himself in three persons, one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yet there's one God. How does that work? I don't understand. But I believe it. I believe it wholeheartedly. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is three. No, the Lord your God is one. It's one God revealed in three persons. Again, I don't understand how that works, but it's one God. That's how when Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that he is the Father and the Father is him. That's not true. They are distinct persons, but yet one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. And these words you're commanding shall be in your heart. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, there's no other besides me, there's no other God. I will gird you, though you have not known me. The beginning of 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God. Ephesians chapter 4, one faith, there's one God, right? One faith, one baptism, right? It's not six gods, there's not a million gods like in India. There's one God, and this one God, who is the true God, is revealed in three persons. And we'll talk more about that. So then, we see Jesus, he didn't blur the distinction between him and the Father. He didn't say, I equal the Father. He said, you've seen his character, you've seen his nature, the nature of God, if you've seen me. You've been with me so long, Philip, and you don't realize that? And so here, Jesus was pointing out, you've seen God, and you know what he's like. And so here, we see that Jesus is in the image, who is the image or icon of the invisible God. He is the exact, as we will see from Hebrews, representation, because he is God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. You could turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Paul is defending against the false accusations that his ministry wasn't saving so much. You got those ministries that got the clicker on the wall on how many people they got saved. Well, God's the one that keeps count of that, you know. And so evidently, they were making accusations that Paul's gospel was not powerful, it's veiled, no one's believing it, or whatever it might say. And he responds this way, with the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You know, you got the bad guys out there that will do a song and dance for anybody and everybody because the people who've rejected Christ are still rejecting Christ. So they don't want to hear about the true gospel. They want a song and dance. They'll accept that, but not the gospel because they've not believed. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And he says here, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And what does it say here? Who is the image of God? That's what we're seeing in our passage, isn't it? You see, indeed, even Jesus himself claimed to be God. I'll share some passages. I'm going to give you so many passages. If you need to know about the deity of Christ, you're going to have 400 passages. The whole thing points to Jesus, by the way. But here, let's take a look at this. John 14:9. We talked about that already. He who has seen me has seen the Father. He's claiming to have the very nature of God, right? John 8:53. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. That's pretty interesting. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John 10:30. This is speaking of the Good Shepherd. I and the Father are one. In the Good Shepherd discourse, the Jews took up stones against him. Jesus answered, said, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus clearly affirmed his own deity in a very humble manner. And then the scripture affirms it all over the place. Let me just share these. You can take notes on these. You can write them down or whatever it might be. You can listen to them. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 20:27-28, when Jesus had risen from the dead, Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, right? Thomas is having his little issue, and Jesus is so gracious. And what does he say? He says there, and he said to Thomas, reach here your finger, see my hands, reach here your hand and put them into my side, and be not believing, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Okay, very clear. And this is Hebrews 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. We're going to see that in a little bit. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. That's pretty clear. He upholds everything by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. A little bit farther up in Hebrews 1:8. So we don't get confused. But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. That's a clear reference to the deity of Jesus Christ. It's forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Philippians chapter 2, for although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, he found appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Existed in the form of God. Romans 9:5. Whose are the fathers, and from whom Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. In the Colossians, we'll see this as we get to it, Lord willing. Unless the Lord comes, that'd be great. Colossians 2:9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Acts 20:28. You think, oh, that's not a passage about deity. Well, yes, it is. Paul warning the Ephesian elders, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock from which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God shed his blood. God took on human flesh. He shed his own blood. He purchased with his own blood. How valuable is that? Infinite value. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That Greek format makes an equality there. You can't deny it. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who've received a faith same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The reality is, Scripture is abundantly clear that Jesus is God. He is the icon or image of the invisible God. Do you believe it? He's God. So then, two things that we need to see here so far. First, Jesus is God. Second, God has chosen to reveal himself to mankind through his Son, Jesus. And so if he is God, then who do we worship? We worship Jesus. Thomas said, my Lord and my God, right? After he had resurrected, the ladies worshiped him when they were on the road, right? So do we have an accurate picture of who Jesus is? He is God. And if he's God, are you willing to bow down to him and worship him, to obey him, as we'll say? And then notice in our passage, not only is he God, he is the supreme Lord of all creation. Look at verse 15. And he, that's his beloved Son, is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, this is where we can get hung up. And this is where the evil, satanic, false religion of the JWs comes in. This is where they can take people captive through being ignorant of Scripture. They can use persuasive arguments to delude you, rather than you understanding the truth of God and dividing it rightly and understanding that and getting away from that, right? And so we see here, it's the firstborn. So we have this false religion of the JWs, as we'll see, in the Watchtower being a false prophet, capitalizing on biblical ignorance and the blindness of their followers, in twisting this very passage to say what it doesn't say. So now they say the term firstborn, what does it mean? But born first. So therefore Jesus was born and he was created. That's what they say. He was not eternally God. He was born. That's what they'll say. And they say, he's the firstborn. And if you have only this passage, you go, wow, that sounds impossible. That meaning firstborn does mean firstborn. Sure does. But it also means something else, as we'll see. And context determines the meaning of words. You see, on a cursory look of this passage without looking at the myriad of passages I just revealed that Jesus is God, you might be taken captive to an evil interpretation. But this interpretation is simply heresy and not true. And let me give you four quick reasons. First of all, nowhere in Scripture is it said that Jesus is a created being. Nowhere. Scripture affirms, as we will see, that he is the creator of all things. We're going to see that in a minute. You just got to read another verse. You just got to keep going. For by him all things are created. Now the JWs are going to add a word in there, all other things, in their translation to try and slip you up. But there's no manuscript that's ever been brought forth that has that in there. There's not one Greek manuscript that has the word other. All of them have, for by him all things were created, not all other things. They twist the word of God, and woe to them. God's beloved son did not come into existence as the firstborn. He was and always is God, the creator, as we will see, of all things. Yet, but we're going to see that Esau, he was firstborn, but yet Jacob was considered firstborn and received the inheritance. There's more to this term of firstborn that we need to understand. You see, Israel was also considered to be the firstborn, Exodus 4:22, and I'll read this for you. Exodus 4:22. Thus you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. That's the same word, prototokos, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And so here we see this term prototokos can also mean position or rank. First place. The firstborn by nature had the first place, but it didn't always mean that the firstborn was the firstborn, as we'll see, or if that. It came to speak of primarily position or rank. And again, Esau was born first. He was the firstborn, quote unquote, yet Jacob was considered the firstborn, the preeminent one. Speaking of David and prophetically the Messiah in Psalm 89:27, we see this clearly relayed. God says, I will make him my firstborn. And he explains it, the highest of the kings of earth. Firstborn, the most preeminent. I'm going to make him the most preeminent. Yes, he's going to be humbled, in a sense. You're not going to be able to see that, you know, but then he will be made to where he was, preeminent. Therefore, God highly exalted him, right? Because he humbled himself to the point of death. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus is called the firstborn of the dead. Was he the first one that rose from the dead? No, Lazarus actually rose before that, right? There were those that rose from the dead, many tombs, and people were resurrected when Jesus died. But he is the first, as in the preeminent one, in which everyone else's resurrection depends because it proves that God accepted his sacrifice. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not the first, but the highest. The highest, the most prominent. God's beloved son did not come into existence as the firstborn. He was the firstborn in terms of rank. He is the highest. And fourth, our context of our passage demands this interpretation. The context demands that it's not speaking of being born in terms of becoming into existence, because we're going to see that he is supreme Lord of all creation because he created all things. So it wasn't that he came on the scene in 2000, that was when Jesus first came about. No, God the Son, as we'll see, existed forever and ever as God the Son, and God the Son took on human flesh. So notice in our passage, Scripture absolutely refutes the deadly satanic heresy of those Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus was not created. He is preeminent. He's always first in terms of rank. Well, notice also our passage shows why he's supreme, why he is preeminent over all things. Notice, because he created all things. You know, if you create it, you've got supremacy over it, right? And if you created everything, you've got supremacy over everything. For by him, verse 16, all things were created. That's pretty clear. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. So Paul uses this term for to institute an explanation, but this term for, actually sometimes it'll be just like that for to explain, but this term in Greek is the term hadi, which means because. And we think, we understand that. We use the term for in our language, take two aspirins for a headache, or take two aspirins because you have a headache, right? And so here he's saying he's the firstborn, preeminent in rank, because he created all things, right? You're the tops if you created it all, right? That's really what it's saying. And so there, because. So Jesus is the supreme Lord over creation because he's the preeminent one, the firstborn, the preeminent one, because by him all things were created. That's what it says. Now in this short phrase, let's make some observations, because it's important to see this, that there's God and there are all things, and there's nothing in between. For by him all things were created. You got God, the Son, and all things, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him, and he is above all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, J.D., we substitute that word in there. Not one manuscript has it. They say all other things. It's an evil translation. It's not true. So here, in these two short verses, 16 and 17, we have the term all things used four times. We have this idea. What does it mean in Greek? It means all things. So God created the heavens and the earth. God did it through his son Jesus, who is God. Remember what we saw in John 1:1? All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Remember what we saw in Hebrews chapter 1 concerning Jesus, his son, through whom he also made the world? Right? We see very clearly that he created all things. He's the supreme Lord because he created everything. This little term, because, puts a death nail into that J.W. heresy. If you just read the next verse, the firstborn can't mean what they say it means and light up the next verse. He's preeminent because he created it all. He's not preeminent because he was created. That doesn't work. It's not true, right? He's preeminent because he created it all. So with that in mind, we see here, because he has created everything, he's the supreme Lord with rights over his creation. Does not the potter, isn't the potter preeminent over the clay? Isn't that true? For by him all things are created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. The Son created all things in the heavens. The Son created all things on earth, literally upon the earth. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. What a magnificent creation, from the farthest star to the wonder of birth. The beauty of it all. God created it through his son Jesus. He's the creator. For by him all things were created. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And think about that. God did it through his son Jesus Christ, who is God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you gave us a lot of information that, frankly, is not heard or taught much these days. So would you take a moment and just summarize it for us?
Yes, Dave, indeed. Sadly, these days, we don't hear much about who Jesus truly is from the Word of God. We hear a lot about Jesus, but not about who he is. He is the eternal God. He is God the Son. He is God who took on human flesh. And we've seen many passages that point to that reality. And along with that, we've also begun to see that he is the creator, that through him, all things were created.
He is the one who brought it all forth. And so with this in mind, we need to have an accurate view of the God we serve, God who took on human flesh and died for our sins and rose from the dead. Well, we're not over with this wonderful passage yet, so make plans to join us for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.